The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I just want to say a few words before I give some walking instructions. I'm just going to reiterate patience, particularly around this attitude of a relaxed focus. The habit of our mind is generally not this relaxed focus. And so we will find our habit coming back over and over again of how we typically focus on something. And so gently, not being hard on yourself about it. It's a habit. It's actually a manifestation of not self that this pattern keeps coming back. So it's just the habitual tendencies that have built up over the course of years. So just recognizing that tendency and relaxing back, seeing if you can relax again. In my own experience, a really helpful way to connect with this relaxed attention and this relaxed focus is the use of these requests. A technical term for them is resolve. Sometimes people don't like that term. It sounds a little harsh or something. And often in concentration practice, resolves are taught. They are an aspect of the concentration practice, that we use these resolves, which are basically a statement of intention. It's a way, essentially, of inclining the mind towards something with an intentionality, but then not doing that, more seeing, is the mind and body ready to do this in this moment? Typically, in my experience in people teaching concentration, resolves are not taught until the mind gets very, very settled. And at that point, they're used to guide us through the process of the deeper levels of concentration. But in my own experience, I found the use of these requests, these resolves, to be helpful from the beginning. What's important is to recognize when putting or dropping a resolve into the mind and body, to recognize what kinds of requests the mind and body are capable of responding to. So there's a little bit of an art to this. I mean, you couldn't simply just sit down. For most of us, we couldn't simply sit down and make the request, "May I become deeply concentrated?" The mind and body aren't ready to go there. But making a simpler request, "May the body relax." Often, I find the mind and body are ready to receive that kind of request and make some subtle adjustment. Now, it may only last for 2 seconds that request has an impact. And then just making it again, requesting again, "May the body relax." And then noticing how the mind and body responds, hang out in that space, making the request again. I found this use of request to be immensely helpful in countering, at least in my own mind, the tendency to do, the tendency to think that consciously I know how to guide the meditation and figure out how to do it. I can make these requests which give it a direction, but then allow the mind and body to, on their own, understand how to accomplish that in that moment. So I offer that to you early in this process. I have found it to be quite helpful in my own practice. It's actually one of my main ways of entering my meditation practice at this point. So again, patience with this, and the setting up of the container, the finding a way for your mind to be relaxed and attentive. Open and relaxed, and yet able to attend to an experience. There's no way, actually, that... Well, I can't do this for you. And actually, we all have to find our own way to this place. It's kind of a matter of experimentation, of seeing what happens as you try certain things. This experimentation becomes a feedback when you do something in your mind or choose to try to engage either through one of these requests or through an active adjustment perhaps of the breathing, making the breathing a little bit longer to make it more comfortable or a little bit shorter to make it more comfortable. Noticing how, in that adjustment, how do the mind and body respond? It's a feedback loop. You change something in the system and there's an effect. So essentially in this process of experimenting, we are learning about cause and effect. How certain causes, how certain choices that we make impact our mind and our experience. And we learn from that. What works for me may not work for you. So that's why I'm trying to offer a broad menu of options in which to try, things to try to find your way, find your own way to this relaxed, open, broad attention that can focus or that can meet an experience. But that container, that climate of the mind being relaxed rather than tense and narrow is the main place to set up the container initially. And when that container is set up, the meditation tends to unfold more skillfully and more naturally. So, walking practice. I'm going to save questions for later. With walking, with concentration practice, we stay with the breathing during our walking. Initially, and I find actually, throughout my, when I'm on retreat doing walking practice, I tend to just pick a place to allow the breath to, allow the mind to kind of settle. Pick a place in the body where the breath is kind of clear to me during walking. And just kind of let that be the place where the mind settles, but keep the attention broad, taking in the fact that the seeing is happening, the hearing is happening. It's like just staying connected as if through that peripheral vision with the experience of breathing, but not trying to narrow down the attention. Allow that experience of the peripheral vision of the breathing to get large, to kind of expand beyond the seeing, beyond the hearing. These are kind of images that you might be able to use to support your ability to stay connected with the breathing, and yet keeping the attention broad. This is one of the main movements in this particular practice, that we connect with our experience of breathing, and yet we don't narrow the attention, we keep the attention broad. And so in the walking, this is actually a great place to practice with this because there's so much stimulus coming in through our other sense doors. Staying with the breathing, keeping the attention broad. Now you may find, I found for myself the best place for me to pay attention to the breathing when I was sitting was at my sternum. And yet when I was walking, that sensation was way too subtle for me to feel. And so I asked Tan Jeff about this, and he said, well, it doesn't really matter. Pick a place where the breathing is clear to you, when you're walking. So you don't have to try to force yourself to stay with the breathing in the same place that you pay attention to it in the sitting. Find a place in the walking where the breathing is clear and you can connect to that experience. So for me, that was in my nostrils when I was walking. So are there any questions about the walking practice? Anything about the walking? Okay, so we'll have until about 10:10 for the walking. It's 10:22 right now. So we'll have a slightly longer than 45-minute period for walking. 11:10, yes, I'm sorry, 11:10. So I'll ring a bell outside at about 11:05, around there. So in this, another thing to say about the walking is that it's not necessary to do slow walking for this. It's really, really not. Staying connected with the breathing is what we're doing here. So not slowing down. I mean, the slowing down of the body is so that we can connect to the sensations of the body. If you find it helpful to walk a little more slowly in order to support staying connected with the breathing, that's fine. But there's no need to intentionally slow down the walking. Attune the pace of walking to what supports your ability to stay connected with the breathing in a relaxed way, in an easeful way, in an open way. So enjoy your walk.